sermon topic today is honoring motherhood. But the two passages of Scripture, which are our Scripture lesson, may be a bit of a surprise to you, because on the surface, they don't seem to have anything to do with motherhood, but in fact, they have everything to do with it, especially with honoring motherhood. So our first passage comes from Leviticus chapter 10. We are going through a series in Deuteronomy, but Leviticus is part of that early Old Covenant, and it complements Deuteronomy. And this is going to be an interesting passage. It's a little bit of background. Normally, throughout the first five books of the Bible, God is speaking directly to Moses, and Moses then is speaking to Aaron or to the people of Israel, and he's passing on what God says to him. But this is the only passage in the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible, where God speaks directly to Aaron. Isn't that interesting? So I think it gives a significance. This is to Aaron and his sons, the priests of Israel. And the Lord spoke to Aaron, saying, "Drink no wine or strong drink, you or your sons with you, when you go into the tent of meeting, lest you die. This shall be a statute forever throughout your generations. You are to distinguish between the holy and the common, and between the unclean and the clean. And you are to teach the people of Israel all the statutes the Lord has spoken to them by Moses." And now to the New Testament, where you again see that God's calling his people to make distinctions. Romans 12, verse 2. "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, and by the that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." In both these lessons, we're hearing that God is calling his people to make distinctions. We are to discern what is holy, what is godly, what is of the Lord, and what is common, what is of the world. When Paul speaks of this world, he's not speaking of the planet, so to speak. You know, the planet's beautiful. God made this earth and everything in it. The earth declares the glory of God. I love the glory of spring. I love the outdoors. I love this planet. But that's not what God's talking about here. Paul, when he speaks of the world, and John does the same thing, he's speaking of the evil world system, the world of ideologies that are against God. In fact, the literal translation of this passage is "this age." It's the same word that we find in Galatians chapter 1, verse 4, where it talks about Jesus, and it says, "He gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age, according to the will of God and the Father." So this age we're living in is evil, and we see it all around us. And what we're being called to do is we need to understand the ideas that are floating around this world. Which ones are evil of the world system that's opposed to God? And what ideas are God's will according to what he wants us to do? And that brings us to Mother's Day. Because there's never a time in American history in which motherhood is more under attack. You know, it's amazing that as David gave that illustration, or rather introduction, the history of Mother's Day, that President Woodrow Wilson only declared that we would celebrate Mother's Day just a little over 100 years, about 100 years ago. It's not that old. of a holiday in America. And yet today, Mother's Day is endangered because there's people who are claiming we should not be celebrating Mother's Day. It's bigoted. We need to be celebrating Birthing Persons Day. Just this week, things are changing so quick, in fact, that just this week, Governor Newsom from California was speaking at a pro-abortion rally. And he made a mistake according to the ideology of this world. He said men can't have babies. And he's been viciously attacked and mocked ever since. Do you see? Mother's Day is under attack. And my aim today is to restore motherhood to a place of honor. But not simply for the sake of mothers, but for the sake of God. Because more is at stake here than simply motherhood. For honoring mothers honors our Creator. It honors God. I talked about distinguishing ideas. The foundation of all good thinking is being able to distinguish between the Creator, which is God, and His creation. In his letter to the Romans, Paul is trying to establish that the fact that all humanity has fallen into sin. And he's getting to the very root of the problem. It's interesting what he says. The root of the problem is that humanity is not able to make proper distinctions any longer, particularly the inability to distinguish between God and His creation. Beginning at verse 21, "For although they," that's all humanity, "knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks to Him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images representing mortal man, birds, animals, and creeping things." Do you hear what Paul is saying? Humanity fell into idolatry because they were confusing the creatures with the Creator. That's the heart of all idolatry. It's a failure to make a proper distinction. What is the idol of our age? Where are we failing to make a proper distinction? I don't think too many people are making images of birds and animals and creeping things and falling down and worshiping them anymore. Those aren't the type of idols we are making. The idols of our age today, our present evil age, is humanity itself. For ever since the Enlightenment, the so-called Enlightenment, there's become the idea that man is the measure of all things. It's called humanism. We've exalted ourselves into the place of God. And interestingly enough, they claim that it's secular humanism. But these claims, like all false claims, are lies. Remember what I've been hitting home hard on about what Jesus is saying about the devil? He's two things. He's a liar and he's a murderer. By claiming that we are the measure of all things, we're lying to ourselves. God is claiming lordship over all things, even our ideas. Paul continues in verses 18 through 20, where he says this: "The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteous men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. His invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, are clearly perceived even ever since the creation of the world and the things that have been made. And so they are without excuse." See, the world is good. The physical world is good, for it gives testimony to God. To look at nature and creation is to see the handiwork of God. And so to be claiming that you're an atheist or to claim that you're secular is to live a lie, because Scripture is very clear here. Everyone knows that there's a God. They're without excuse. There really are no atheists. There's only people who are suppressing the truth according to God. So when we fail to make these distinctions between our Creator and creation, what happens to us? Here we're coming to Mother's Day again. We're failing to make proper distinctions within creation itself. Paul continues at verse 26. "For this reason, God gave them up to dishonorable passions. For the women exchanged natural relationships that are contrary to what? Nature. Contrary to creation. Who they're made to be. And men likewise gave up natural or created relations with women, and were consumed with passions for one another. Men committing shameless acts with men and receiving in themselves the undue penalty for their error." What does pregnant men emojis, gay marriage, and abortion all have in common? All three of those things are unnatural. And all three of those things are against motherhood. They're against the fact that God created us in His image. Male and female, He created us. Go back to the very beginning, to the creation of all things, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. "And so God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them." Do you see? There is distinctions. Here's a term that's going out today. It's very popular. Maybe you haven't heard it, but you will hear it. It's called non-bilateral thinking. In other words, there are no opposites. There is no black and white, light and darkness, male and female. See, one, two, that's what bi means. There's none of that. There's no good or evil. That's the thinking that's captured our world. And we need to not be conformed to that thinking, Paul says. We need to make distinctions and be conformed to the Word of God. And one of the things that does is it recognizes that God is Creator, and He's made us who we are as males and females. And so today, when we are celebrating motherhood, we are honoring our Creator, because God made mothers and fathers, male and female. And not only are we honoring God Himself by honoring motherhood, we're honoring the mandate God has given us, the creation mandate. What is the creation mandate? Well, it's found in Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, the very next verse in Genesis. And it says this, and God blessed them, that is Adam and Eve, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. Subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the heaven, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. This mandate contains three things. First, it commands us, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. This means that we have children. It means that people become mothers and people become fathers. It's not a commandment to have as many children as humanly possible, but it's a commandment to have as many children as our hearts desire without fear. And I'll talk more about that in a moment. You see, we need not fear having children. Children are a blessing, not a curse. Second, it commands us to subdue the earth. Now, this sounds very un-green. It actually is contrary to the evolutionary narrative. It's contrary to the environmental narrative. Because God did not create humanity in the wilderness. He created humanity in a garden. In a planned garden. And when he says, subdue the earth, he's saying bring order. Careful, protected, creative order to the whole universe. You see, we are called by God to be conservationists, not environmentalists. An environmentalist says man is evil. Man is a burden to the natural order. Therefore, we want to have zero human footprints. Conservation says, have carefully placed footprints. Don't stamp out species. Don't kill animals and plants wantonly. Or create, strip mines and killing pollution. All those things where we've abused the environment, that's the nature of our sin. It's evidence of our sinfulness. It's not evidence that God's mandate's wrong. In fact, what we're going to see as we study Deuteronomy is God has a lot to say about creation care in this world. But third, it commands us to have dominion over all creatures. And again, this is implying that we have wise management over the animals, for our benefit and for our enjoyment. And the only way to fulfill this mandate is through the bearing and the raising of children. I began my sermon by saying that God commands us to make distinctions. What's holy, what's common, what's good, what's evil. Notice that this is exactly what God called Adam to do in the creation story. In chapter 2, beginning at verse 18, we have an interesting story here. And then the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helper fit for him. And out of the ground, the Lord formed every beast of the field and every bird of the heavens and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called every living creature, that was its name. And the man gave names to all the livestock and to the birds of the heaven and every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper fit for him. So the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man. And while he slept, he took one of his ribs and closed up its place with flesh. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man. Then the man said, this at last is bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. Do you see? Motherhood is foundational to the creation mandate. Adam could not have fulfilled the mandate with another animal or another man. He needed a woman to become the mother of all things. And so when we honor motherhood, we're honoring God's creation mandate. But that's not all. For we're also honoring God's promises. Look at verse 28 again of chapter 1 of Genesis. What's the very first thing it says? And God blessed them. God blessed them. It begins with a blessing upon humanity. Because there's no way we can fulfill the mandate unless we have God's blessing. See, our society views children at best as a burden, don't they? We're hearing it time and time again. If you have children, they're going to cramp your lifestyle. They're going to become a burden upon you. You'll be impoverished if you have too many children. Or at worst, you're hearing increasingly people saying, it's immoral. It's being irresponsible to have too many children. Why are they saying that? Well, they're saying that because they use terms like this. Too many children are unsustainable. We have an overpopulation problem. What does unsustainability mean? Well, it means the earth can't support people. There's only so much of a pie. And if you keep on slicing the pie thinner and thinner, people are going to starve to death. What's wrong with that thinking? See, we're called to conform our minds not to the wisdom of this world, but the wisdom of God. What's wrong with that thinking? We just saw it in verse 28. They're not taking into account God's blessing. You see, we're not in a closed universe. We're in a universe where God's blessing is being infused into this world. And one of the greatest blessings is people, because people are made in the image of God. What's the most valuable commodity in this world right now? It always has been, but now we're really recognizing it. Information. The biggest corporations, the wealthiest corporations, make their money based on information and human creativity. People are not a drain. They're an asset. In Psalm 34, we read about the promised blessing of God. If we would obey God, not just in this area, but all areas of life, we read this in Psalm 34, beginning at verse 8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. What does it mean to take refuge in God? It means to hide ourselves in God's promises. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. What does it mean to fear God? It means to obey God. For those who fear him have no what? No lack. The young lions suffer want and hunger, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. You see, it is a step of faith to obey God. It always is. And obeying God's creation mandate is a step of faith. But God says that when we're faithful in obeying God, he will not impoverish us, but he will enrich us. Listen to what God says to us in Psalm 127, beginning at verse 3. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are children in one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks to his enemies at the gate. You see, God is calling us to march to a different drummer. The world has their wisdom, but we're to have our wisdom. We're to be rebels, in other words. We're to be countercultural. But we have a reason to be. But we're rebels with a cause. As we celebrate Mother's Day today, what we're celebrating is God Himself. How He made us, male and female. We're celebrating His creation mandate, which includes having children. Children are a blessing, not a curse. We're celebrating God's promises. His promises that when we obey Him, He will bless us. There's never been a time when it's more important for us as a church to stand up for what's right, to be willing to not go along with the crowd, but to stand up against culture and say, no, it's wrong. God made women to be mothers, and only women can be mothers. And children are not a curse. They're not a burden. People are precious. Every life is precious. It's to be honored and cherished because it is a blessing. People bless us. They don't curse us. And most of all, to honor God for who He says we are and what He's created us to be. Let us pray. Oh Lord God, we pray for Your grace to be brave people. Our whole culture is walking in a way that's not according to Your word. They're running away from You as fast as they can. And we see it in this area of motherhood. Oh Father, we pray for Your church, that we'll have the bravery to stand up for what's right. We pray for the healing of our society, that by us being salt and light, people will be woken up to the error that's before them. Oh Lord, our world is facing a danger. People are talking about this even now. A demographic Armageddon. Because this present generation is not having children. And I don't think people understand what's going to happen in 50 years if we don't wake up, listen to Your word, and obey it, and be fruitful and multiply, to honor marriage, to honor maleness, and to honor femaleness, and to love and nourish children. Forgive us of our sins, and help us to do what is right. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's continue.